Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we are now coming to the final two verses of the book of Malachi, Chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and we continue talking about the remedy for a wayward society, which actually is the last three verses, and we have taken a good bit of time to examine verse 4, which tells us that the first step to renewing a wayward society is to return to the Word of God. But there are two more, and they are in verses 5 and 6. Step number one, as you may recall, is to return to the Word of God, to remember God's Word, which is to remember it, to obey it, return to God's Word. Number two is to receive God's messengers, that's verse 5. And number three is to reform God's institutions, that is, the institutions which God has given us. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. We'll still take two or three more broadcasts, I suppose, before we completely finish this book, but we're getting very close to the end. And I looked back to see when we began, and we actually began our study of Malachi on August 21. And so we're going to finish it up in April of 2020. It's been a good study, as far as I'm concerned, and I hope you will agree. So thank you for joining me on this Friday, April 3. Thank you for remembering that it takes financial support for us to continue the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Well, let me read the last three verses of the book of Malachi. Malachi 4, 4, 5, and 6. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Yes, the book of Malachi, Old Testament book, but surprisingly relevant to us today. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, powerfully relevant to us today. We shouldn't be surprised. The Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's not all profitable in exactly the same way, but it's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, all of it. All of it. Not just our favorite passages, not just the New Testament and the Psalms, and maybe Proverbs. But all of it, including the book of Malachi. And so we continue talking about the remedy for a wayward society, which begins with a return to the Word of God. We've got to respect God's Word, but more than that, we've got to learn God's Word, but more than that, we've got to obey God's Word. But there's more. The second step is to receive the messenger sent by God. That's verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This is a significant statement. We might rush over it real quickly, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't rush too quickly over any part of God's word, but particularly when we see that word behold. That always indicates something of special significance. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. behold. Now, we've seen that word behold four times before in this book. The first time, it was in relationship to the judgment of God upon unfaithful priests, chapter 2, verse 3. Behold, speaking to the priests, the Levites, behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Behold, God's judgment upon unfaithful priests. In our day, behold God's judgment upon unfaithful preachers, upon unfaithful pastors, upon unfaithful ministers. The second behold was the announcement of a coming messenger, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. That's another behold. The third behold is the announcement of the day of judgment, chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly, will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That's the third behold. And now the fourth one is, behold, the coming of a prophet, the announcement of the coming of a prophet. Verse 5, chapter 4, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And so, something is coming which precedes the most significant event. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Before the day of severe judgment. Before the day of final judgment. Before the day of Christ's return, I send you Elijah the prophet. The coming of Elijah, sent by God, sent to Israel, indicated by that word you, behold, I send you, to you, for your benefit, a powerful messenger from God, Elijah the prophet, probably the most prominent prophet in the Old Testament era. And he will come to prepare for the day of judgment. He will come to warn people of the day of judgment and call people to repentance. Very similar to what Malachi is doing in this book of Malachi. He is calling people to repentance. He is warning them about the day of judgment. He is preparing people for the day of judgment. And now we read that God is going to send Elijah the prophet to do a similar work. And that should tell us about the goodness of God that he would do this. Why is it that people many times act like they resent those who warn them and call them to repentance and try to prepare them for the day of judgment? Well, of course, nobody likes to be rebuked. Nobody likes to be alarmed. Nobody likes to be warned. But we count people as heroes if, for example, they see a house on fire in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock, and they sound the alarm, and they warn people and enable them to get out of the house before they are destroyed. We say those are heroes that they did that. They didn't just look the other way. They didn't consider that to be somebody else's responsibility. No, they had loving compassion upon the inhabitants of that house, and they were willing to put themselves out in order to sound the alarm and to give them an opportunity of escape. But when it comes to spiritual things, so many times we take the opposite viewpoint. Don't you give me any of that hellfire and brimstone kind of preaching. Well, I recognize that there is a preaching that's done with a rancorous spirit, which is not helpful. But I'm also aware that it doesn't matter how lovingly you warn people about the wrath to come and warn people about their sins and their need to repent and warn people about the coming day of judgment, that there are many people who are going to resist that and resent that, and many times even vocally oppose those who do that and announce that they are going to have nothing to do with that kind of a preacher. That says more about you than it does about the preacher. When people say things like that, I wouldn't go to that church. That preacher's a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I left that church because we got a new pastor, and he was one of those hellfire and brimstone kind of preachers, which generally is just a careless phrase that means he was serious about not only encouraging God's people, but he was faithful to all the Word of God. And so when there were warnings in the Word of God, he was faithful to issue the warning, just as when there were encouragements in the Word of God, he was faithful to proclaim the encouragements. In other words, he was committed to the whole counsel of God, not just to the parts that tickle people's ears and please them. He wasn't most interested in his own popularity. He was most interested in being faithful to God. And that's the kind of preacher that we need. And if we're wise, we will value. And if we're not willing to listen to a preacher like that, it says more about us than it does about him. When we talk about preachers that we will not listen to, it's usually with the idea there's something wrong with him. He's the wrong kind. Everybody will understand why I didn't want to continue under that ministry, why that was heaping indignity upon me. That made me uncomfortable. Of course, it's just clear why I rejected that. Yes, it is. And it's not because there was anything wrong with the preacher. It's because there's something terribly wrong with your own heart. But you don't know that you have rejected the very messenger that God sent to help you. The messenger that God sent out of loving kindness to you. The messenger that God sent because he's being good to you. And you have rejected that messenger. And we're talking about the second step to reforming a wayward society. The first step is to return to the Word of God. The second step is to receive the messenger sent by God. In other words, to value and receive those proclaimers of God's Word who are true to God, who are more interested in pleasing God than pleasing man, who are serious about proclaiming all of the counsel of God, who have been sent by God to help you, to rescue you, to snatch you out of the burning, to bring about salvation of your souls and that of your household and that of your children. People are so foolish when their children, their young people, their teenagers don't want to go to church. Not that church. They're willing to go to another one where there's a lot of entertainment, where there's contemporary rock music and other things that they like, but they're not going to go to that Bible preaching church where they grew up in. And how foolish are parents when they say, well, little Junior doesn't want to go here anymore, so we're going to have to go over here where my children will continue to go to church. And you don't know that you are removing them from the thing that is most important to their souls. Are you that foolish? Are you that naive? Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.